Everybody, it is Eddie Pepitone with the Bunker finale, and I'm starting a little early because, hey, it's the finale, so let's mix it up a little bit. We have on today the producer of the Bunker. Steve Fine Arts will be joining us, and me and Steve will just chat about, you know, what was the idea behind the Bunker, and that should be good. You know, why not? Let's talk about the Bunker. It's amazing. I feel a little choked up that the Bunker is ending, you know, because I've gotten to know a bunch of you, and it's been so nice, become friends. It's been really a great experience, you know. And I mean, yes, social media, destroys our souls, and you know, there's no substitute for real in-person connection, but this has been good. I mean, the Bunker forced us into this. The Bunker forced us into this, and I think we did well. I think we did very well indeed with the Bunker, you know? I know you guys have been so great. You guys have been so great. And I have to play. Well, it's not 4 o'clock yet, so I won't play the theme song. But I am going, what I'm going to be doing, I won't play the theme song until 4, but I am going to be going back into the studio in all things comedy, and I think I'm going to try to get it. I think I was doing this before, but I'm going to try to put it on YouTube live. Yes, some YouTube live, and then it'll live on YouTube. It'll live on all things comedy, and I'm trying to figure out what exactly it's going to be. Maybe I'll only do a half hour or something. Maybe I'll just do solo. I don't know. Probably not going to do solo, but have guests, of course, you know. But I'm not sure what I want to do. But at least for this podcast, I have a theme song. There it is. There is the theme song, everybody. We are live from the Bunker one last time. And
Tuesday, Thursday, 4 p.m.
And
Pacific time.
The pandemic isn't even really over. But we are Steve on now. But we are gonna end it anyway because the pandemic is essentially over with the vaccine. Everybody's kind of getting back. And there is Steve.
Hey,
as soon as you came on, Charlotte started barking. I don't know if that's a good sign for you.
How's Charlie doing?
Charlie's doing really good. My calendar just reminded me that I have the Bunker here today, which is nice. Isn't it supposed to remind you 10 minutes before?
I think so. That'd be funny. That's the only way you found out that you had the Bunker today. It's just the calendar reminder. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the Bunker. And we had no idea it was going to last this long.
Right.
I mean, when we first, what did you think when we first started?
Well, we did have an insider at the CDC who was giving us tips. He said it was airborne. He said it's airborne. You better get this thing going soon.
Airborne,
no, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know when the first one was, but I remember.
It was, I wrote down in my journal, That we shut down March 12th as a society here in Los Angeles. So it was like March 12th, March 13th. And what happened? And then I think we started doing the bunker about a week later. Yeah. Was it a week later or 10 days later? Something like that. So
Yeah, you're like, I can't do the road anymore. Like, we got to pivot. How do we got to pivot. What are we going to do?
Pivot has been a very important word and thing for people to do in this bunker. Have you pivoted in any way?
I've pivoted backwards, and I fell into a deep dark hole, and now I'm feeling good though. I'm feeling better now. It was rough there for a while, though, you know.
And you attribute that roughness to
idle time.
That there's a biblical quote. Idle time. Idle hands are the devil's playground.
Yeah,
something like that.
Close enough.
We don't usually do a lot of biblical stuff here, but
we stay away from the religion on the bunker. There's a lot. It's a hot button issue.
But it's been so crazy. It's been so crazy, this whole thing.
Yeah.
That how do we honor it? You know what I mean? Or does it take time for this to gestate before it can be like honored, you know? I mean, it's not really all over, too. I was just saying as you were coming on that, you know, the pandemic has not been squashed out around the world. And so, therefore, there's still a lot of danger with variants. You know how I feel about variants.
The new variants. It's your new,
you know how I feel about the new variants.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, you're going on the road, though, so that's good. It means you feel like, you know, safe enough to go do that, and you're doing the...
I know. Deep South. I know, I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes I wonder if I'm being prudent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being prudent about, you know, going out on the road. You know, I think there's going to be a lot more indoor shows now.
Yeah, and you did the Comedy Store, which is indoor now. They're doing the indoor shows there. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I've been going to a lot of comedy shows outside, and they're fun. And in L.A., we're lucky enough where the weather's good, so we can do the outdoor shows all summer, and it's great. And, you know, no need to do the indoor shows unless, you know, it's a comedy club. Those places got to stay open and support them. But other than that, there's a lot of great outdoor shows you can do for a while. But in L.A., the numbers, the vaccination numbers are great. It's like 70% or something now that have gotten the first shot, something like that. So.
I know, but I'm traveling to the part of the country where they're not really that big into science, I guess. They're not big. They're not big into self. Well, I don't know if it's self-care. They're crazy, you know. Well, anyway, I'm
mistrust.
Going.
There's a mistrust of Biden and the Democrats because they've been fed. A lot of them have been fed this information that, like, oh, you're going to be tracked. You know, you're going to be the vaccine is population control or whatever this bullshit thing that the far right, you know, wackos are feeding these people. You know, it's not your fans aren't going to be that, but. You know, they're relatives.
That's true.
You
know. That's true. But you always get a straggler, an unvaccinated straggler in the show. You know what I mean? Like, hey, there's some comedy. Like, I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Tennessee with JT Haversad. Going to three towns. That's funny. I call them towns. Fort Worth, Austin, and I think it's San Antonio in Texas. Right. I've never been to San Antonio. Have you?
I've never been to San Antonio either, but, you know, they, apparently, you know, there's lots of, they got the rivers, right? Aren't they known for, like, they got, like, these rivers there in San Antonio? You can go, I don't know.
Are you talking about the Rio Grande?
No, there's, like, apparently, like, those there's some like beautiful water in San Antonio. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. There's the Alamo. It's not too far. I've never been to San Antonio. When I grew up, I would go to El Paso a lot because my family, my uncle and the cousins lived in El Paso for some reason. So we would go there every year.
You had uncles and cousins in El Paso?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, that explains a lot about. Well,
they own pawn shops and knife stores in El Paso.
What?
Yeah.
Pawn shops and what?
Knife stores.
Like knife?
Knife shops, yeah.
Oh, my God. This doesn't fit in with, who I think you are. Because, a lot of people's families who own pawn shops.
Pawn.
That's my New York accent. I can't get rid of it. But pawn shops and knife stores, they don't do well as far as just in life in general, you know?
By the way, I told Adomian we're going to be on, and he asked, how long? Who's on? He just texted me. So should I text him back?
Tell him to come on if he can.
Here, I might be paused for 1 second, so you might have to.
Yeah, go ahead. That's okay. I'll talk to the crowd. Steve is going to contact James and Domian to see if James will join us. But okay. Did you text him?
I just texted.
Yeah.
So he might join.
Are you home, by the way?
Oh yeah, I'm home. I went and got a smoothie, got ready for this, and I took a little walk down Hillhurst in Los Feliz, and now I'm ready to do it. I'm off the caffeine right now, so I need to find any other way to.
Oh, that's a good idea because you've been having sleep issues, right? Mm-hmm. So you quit caffeine now?
Yeah, very, very little bit of caffeine. Maybe once in a while I have a cup of coffee in the morning, but not today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. You weren't that into, were you into caffeine that much then?
No.
I don't remember you as a big caffeine guy.
I always had like one or two cups of coffee a day, but you know, anything helps to get rid of it. Insomnia.
Yeah, have you been exercising to help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exercising, meditating, hitting my head against the wall until the thoughts stop, you know, whatever I have to do. I'm doing whatever I can. I think, just like I said, idle time and like not having work, and now I'm starting, I'm starting to work on some new stuff. And
Can you talk about what you're working on yet?
I think so. I think we could talk about it. Yeah, I don't think.
Why don't you tell people?
Yeah, I started a documentary on Marc Maron. So that's.
I was there. I was there at the Comedy Store when you were filming Mark.
Yes.
And I jumped in.
Yeah.
I jumped in and was like, hey, Mark, you were in my documentary. It was fun.
It was. It felt like when we were filming The Bitter Buddha, the two of you guys just kind of back and forth. It was like the same energy, you know. It was the same thing. Mark's still kind of playing the same role.
Right.
It's so funny, but he softened a lot. He softened. He was more raw back then.
I'm kind of very angry at the Comedy Store right now. They haven't been scheduling me that much.
I was there two nights ago, and they only had one show in the main room, Eddie. So I don't think there was no go-off at all. I think they're just there's just not enough shows, and there's a million comedians trying to.
Right. Well, do you want to tackle the news? Did you send me?
I did today. I occasionally miss the news for you, but I did send today.
Oh, okay. I was kidding. I figured you didn't send today.
They asked the question, are you making a documentary on Mark or with Mark? We're making one on Mark. It's with Mark, too, I guess.
Right. But, I mean, Mark's history is like we were talking about. Mark, I started out with Sam Kennison.
Yeah.
Mark was a doorman at the Comedy Store, wasn't he? Yeah. Did he work the door?
Doorman in the mid-80s, yeah. with
Comedy Store is wild. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing it with Julie Seba. We're co-directing it. She's a great journalist for the LA Times and other places. So she came to me, and we reached out to Mark, and we've just been filming him for the last month.
That's
or so.
Great.
Leave him. There's a lot there.
Yeah. Now, you followed me around for a year,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So what do you think, Mark? He's worth maybe 2 years.
I don't know. I mean, we'll probably film a lot in a little, probably shorter than a year, I'm guessing.
Right.
But we'll probably
right.
film more very like, you know, I'm guessing July, August, September, we'll film the bulk of it. You know, that's the hope.
Yeah.
And then lots of interviews and yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
That should be good. All right. Well, let's go to the notes here. Fucko of the week. And now you put these together. So do you remember who the fucko of the week was?
What did I?
I have it in front of me.
Fucko of the week. I actually forgot. What did I give you?
It's Instacart.
Oh.
You said these pricks, Instacart, these pricks are planning to replace gig workers
right.
with robots in a plan to go fully automated in the coming year. But I mean, aren't most companies?
Yeah, yeah, most are, but I think they are like the most egregious because they're also they weren't giving them benefits, the workers. They were doing some bad things during the pandemic as well. People had left Instacart, and now they're kind of saying we're just doubling down on that sort of evil bullshit. But
because
like most
I don't
of these
know.
News stories, but like most of these news stories, I send you just a headline, and I don't do any research. And I kind of,
I know
you're going to go figure it out or you're going to take an opinion on it that is very based on one line. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you know, I know you're not getting paid for the producer slot. So I didn't press you on the way these news items came across. You know what I mean? Like here, Eddie, here's a news.
take a hard stance, Eddie.
But I got rid of the Instacart app. I used them once or twice during the pandemic, and I found out that they, like, stopped unions. You know, they, of course, stopped unions. And I was like, well, fuck that. I'm not going to do that, you know?
No. I don't know, man.
But robots, I do look forward to a day and age where robots have replaced us all, and let the robots have sleepless evenings. You know what I mean? Let the robots worry about the rent. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Let the robots worry about how to balance relationships and work. Let the robots worry about doing the road during a deadly pandemic.
Let the robots worry about getting booked at the Comedy Store.
Let the robots, you know, because if everybody's placed by robots, you know, there will be thousands of robots trying to get up stage time.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be.
What are they going to talk about? And what are they going to talk about? Robots.
I would imagine a lot of the robots are going to be talking about singularity, and how boring is that going to get when every robot on stage is covering the same ground of singularity? It'll be like sex topics.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like
comics.
LA versus New York topics, you know. It'll be like
dating. By the way, those have disappeared. The LA versus New York topics have disappeared. And we'll get back to the robots in a second.
Because they're both cities are apocalyptic wastelands now.
All cities are apocalyptic. Oh, Allison Sphinx Lady 0010. Is that the code? Is that the singularity code?
That's just code, yeah. That's code, like computer code.
Anyway, I just feel like let the robots deal with all these problems. You know what I mean? Let the robots deal with it.
What if you had a robot psychiatrist or a robot psychologist? That'd be interesting. It may be good. They'll have all the information you need. You know?
Well, I got to tell you, I would say 9 out of 10 shrinks that I've had
are
I have not been very good.
Right.
You know, and maybe robots would make better. That would be a very funny thing if robots started mechanizing like psychiatry. And it would be like, you know, good evening. How are you feeling? How are you feeling today, Mr. Peppertone? And I would be like, I'll tell you, Robe. I would call him Robe.
Right, right.
All right, let's see what else we have here. News of the day. Amazon customers have 1 week to opt. Okay, now I've heard about this. Let's talk about this because I have Alexa. But I've had Alexa turned off for months right now, and it doesn't. Right. And I've realized I've had Alexa turned off for months because I'm too lazy to restart. Like, there's a way you restart it and hook it up to the internet. Never since I got a new router or whatever I got. I don't know if they what the kids are calling them, routers or modems. But ever since I got a new something over there, where all my shit is. That would be funny. Hey, ever since I got a new fucking thing over there,
where all my shit.
Alexa's been turned off, and my life has not deteriorated as much as I thought, because I used to do things like, the only thing I would yell at Alexa was something like, Alexa, give me the news of the day. And it was just, it was just the, what do you call it? The pre-digested,
Washington
Post. Just all the talking points that all the mainstream.
Watered down news is what you would get. You would get the watered down corporate news.
Let me read this. Amazon customers have 1 week to opt out of a plan that would turn every Echo speaker, which is what I have, and Ring, well, I don't have Ring security cameras in the U.S., into a shared wireless network. Mm-hmm. So do that. Now, what does that mean, a shared wireless network?
I mean, it sounds like it means that they're going to have, they'll be able to just connect from everybody's Alexa to one large network. So, I mean, it just means they're going to have access.
What does that mean?
It just means they're going to have access to your audio, or if for the ring camera, your video, so they can sort of have a, I guess, be able to monitor, you know, all around the country, anybody who has one of these devices. Even though you've opted out, you could have opted out for something else before. This is a new thing you have to opt out of. I think it's called Sidewalk, I think is the name of the program.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard that. But we're already being surveilled constantly. That's why Eddie Snowden is in Russia. Eddie Snowden revealed that the NSA listens to everything. I mean, and we voluntarily put out our information constantly, right? I mean, we have iPhones.
We all put out
our personal information.
But I think if there's any way to opt out, you might as well do it. You know, why not? You know, because fuck them. Because if it hurts them a little bit, you know, if 30% of people hear about this and opt out, maybe that.
You know that so many people, like, I'm too lazy to reconnect. Mm-hmm. The Echo Dot, that a lot of people are going to be just too lazy to opt out.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I see what Gareth is saying. They're going to use people's devices to boost coverage.
Oh.
And it's probably a massive security problem.
There you go. Thank you, Gareth. That sounds horrifying.
Oh, interpret what that means,
Steve. To boost coverage. I actually don't know what that means. It just sounds
like,
well,
I like
bad.
That you said, oh, there
massive
you go. Now that's a
problem.
Good...
Massive security problem. Ding, ding, ding. Gareth, explain. We're both not very smart at this.
Using puts you on
the
a watch
boost coverage. Oh, I mean, it's coverage as in, like, I don't know.
I totally agree. Smash all of your devices.
Wi-Fi coverage. Okay. All right.
I'm not sure, but anyway, just opt out. We wanna opt out. I mean, if there's one thing you get from the bunker, you know, just opt out of the Sidewalk program.
the only thing we like with Amazon is that for the masses is on Amazon. Everything else you don't need. There's nothing else you need. You can go to the store and get it. You know, local stores need your business.
Local
people. Yeah.
I'm there. Okay, here we go. 20% of the U.S. beef supply has been wiped out by a cyber attack?
Yeah, this I didn't really understand at all.
What does that mean? No clue, but I think it's good news. yeah, what are you talking about? I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it was I scoured all the I don't really know what that means exactly, but I can tell you that it sounds like there was some sort of a security breach with one major beef supplier, and now there's a mix-up as to how much beef is actually available. And I think it might have, like, been irreparable damage to the system. I don't know all the details. Again,
I love
the common theme. This is a common theme. I do very little research.
I love our news items. And like the way we deal with them. Look, I don't know what that means. And I don't even know if it's true. But if you take me on face value.
I think it was in Reuters. So I think it was true. But I don't know. I don't know the details. Again.
Yeah. Well, I'm vegan.
Gareth is right. Cows are being used to boost coverage. It's a massive security problem. So wild. This show's winding down. It's been.
I'm a little choked up about it that it's ending. I'm like, oh fuck. What do you think? What do you think? I'm going to go into all things comedy, and I'm going to start a new podcast. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Should it be beef centric? It would be funny if my new podcast just dealt with the sidewalk program.
Actually, you know what? Opt out with Eddie Pepitone is not a bad name.
Oh, I like that. Opt out with Eddie Pepitone.
And it could just be fuck the tech companies.
Just fuck everybody.
Fuck everyone. Opt out.
Fuck the corporate.
Yeah.
Fuck the corporate world, man. Fuck the corporate world.
Yeah. And if anybody has any ideas for Eddie's new podcast, you know, throw them in the comments, because I know Eddie's trying to figure it out, right? You're trying to figure mm-hmm. out the next.
I am. I mean, All Things Comedy was saying that I should do a thing where it's called Fuck Everything with Eddie Pepitone, but I didn't want to, you know, be like a crazy, I don't know. I didn't want to be like a crazy ranter.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're not just that. Yeah.
I'm not just that. No. But
I do like that. I do like that, like being a part of the show where you rant and have like a moment like that. That's great. You know, it's hard. Like, you know, that. But then we were talking about like how good Dana's podcast is, or I don't know if he's still doing it, but Dana Gould.
He is. Yeah. He's still doing it.
So great.
Just without me now.
But how well produced that is, and like how the different segments kind of work together.
Oh,
and,
that's right, yeah.
He only puts out once a month. But I know you like to have a little bit more of an outlet and to talk to your fans and be able to kind of do this. And you mm-hmm. can keep doing this, whether it's the bunker or whether it's just checking in every once in a while, because why not, you know?
Yeah. This is some people are saying, oh shit, this is the last one. Well, it's the last.
Oh, my cousin's bunker. Oh, my cousin from Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
There we go.
That's nice. Blackhawk A22?
There he is, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Smith eats enough. You can be a hilarious vegan. Is Kevin Smith a vegan now?
I think he might be, yeah. He lost a bunch of weight. He did?
Well, yeah, I know that a lot of people lose weight once they're on... once they've been threatened by a little fellow I call the Grim Reaper. A little fellow.
Yeah.
Called the Grim Reaper. You know, people then are like, oh shit, I better lose a lot of weight. And the key is to lose the weight before the Grim Reaper comes knocking at your door, which is why I walk at least a half hour a day.
you walk for a half hour, you go to Starbucks, you have a nice thing that you do.
I go to corporate fucking Starbucks, but there is a pretty nice coffee shop around here that isn't a corporate cesspool.
Right.
Oh, here's James. Oh. How did you ever get Mr. Finance? Oh. Well, James, I asked. He had a Widowmaker. Oh wow, I didn't know that. Kevin Smith had he survived the Widowmaker.
Wow. Did you say? Oh, you didn't say. You said, "Oh, James McGovern." You didn't say Adomian. You said, "Here's James."
No. Adomian apparently has already started the opt out podcast.
Oh my God! What else we got from the news? Did I give you more?
Of course. You go. New York City is the first to implement a vaccine passport for live events and other large gatherings called the Excelsior Pass. Other cities are exploring their own version. I think, now a lot of people are saying, oh, it's bullshit, you shouldn't be able to do that. But I like that a lot.
I do too, yeah.
And the Comedy Store is doing it.
Yeah, even if it's just the beginning, if it's just for the next few months, like the people that got the vaccine, you know, those people, they should be rewarded. And feel like they're not in fear of, you know, some asshole coming in and spreading this disease. Mm-hmm. I think those people, I don't know what it's going to be like in 6 months or a year from now, but I think doing that is great. And I think also like live music, that's the only way live music can come back.
Mm-hmm. You can't. I think you should have a vaccine passport just to get into your own home. You know what I mean? Like, right. In other words, if your wife or your spouse has been vaccinated,
right,
and you haven't, you should not be let into your own home. And I know that may, I don't know,
controversial.
There'll be a lot of rifts in different families. You know, imagine that, like big Thanksgiving gatherings, the whose ever house it is.
Yeah. Hey, Bob. Yeah, hey, Bob. You got your vaccine. Yeah.
So people with allergies to medication who can't take it are just not valid. Now, you see, there are people who are saying things that there are legitimate reasons why they can't get vaccinated.
Well, they can show a negative test, I believe. And a doctor, like a waiver. Yeah, a doctor's waiver. That, at least at Lab Comedy, a negative test still counts as well. And you can get a test very quickly now, mm-hmm, anywhere you want. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, that is definitely an issue. People who can't get the vaccine for whatever reason, health-wise, yeah, I do get
that. Yeah, right. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Oh, someone said, I have allergies. I took it. I'm fine. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I kind of err on that side, but
very specific allergy to like a certain sort of like lipid or something. They're saying like that it's a very, very small amount of people have an allergy to this, to the vaccine. It's like a that's sort of like a argument for not a lot.
The mind fuck, it says many immunocompromised people can't get vaccinated. Yeah, I've heard that, except you know, we know a few people who are immunocompromised and they have gotten vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, listen to your doctor, I guess. I think your doctor can maybe override that if there's a medical concern and if you want to get into a concert, mm-hmm, I'm sure there's probably ways, you mm-hmm know, but I don't know. Hey,
I think people who can't get vaccinated should at the very least have soap on a rope hanging from their neck. You know what soap on a rope is? It's just soap on a string, and I don't know if they do it anymore, but that was a big thing. Anyway, let's see. What else do we have? 4:30. It's 4:30, by the way. We have a half hour left.
Wow.
In the bunker, and we started like around March 20th.
Yeah,
you know. Wow.
Like 14 months of this shit.
April, mate, you're right. Wow. 14 months. Wow. And I didn't miss many, am I right? I did not.
I think maybe two or three.
Missed two or three.
Yeah. Yeah, there were days where I was like, really? Do we have to do this? Like, I was like, no, I mean, there were some days where it was really heavy. Like during the election and like during the BLM stuff, where it was really, you know, things were really stressful, and I was I was surprised we were doing it. I'm happy we did, but it was in the moment.
Do you remember I was doing, I forgot about this. We were doing 5 days a week.
Yeah, the beginning.
I had to talk you out of it.
But you wanted to do it. You wanted to do it. I was like, whew. It was a full time. I mean, that was like every day, just book a guest and do the news and the whole thing. It was for no money.
And I remember Al Madrigal called me and he was like, Eddie, nobody has the bandwidth, you know, because they kept putting them up.
Anybody here who's watching now, watch those, like the daily ones at the beginning when it was.
Yeah, I mean, well.
There's some people here that I think were there from the beginning and those are the hardcore bunker fans.
Oh, totally, totally.
Oh my God.
That's why I'm getting a little choked up. That's why I'm getting a little choked up. So the next news item is Reels. Netanyahu, our version of Trump, is on the ropes as the opposition parties are forming to oust him from power after 15 years. Well, and that's good as long as these parties are not crazy right wing. Like
the problem is they are crazy right wing. That's the problem. Opposition party is part of it is very considered even further right than Netanyahu, which is unbelievable.
Oh, great. I mean, I don't know what happened to Israel's left. What the fuck happened to Israel's left? I guess maybe
it's what happened to our left. It's like what happened to our left just got crushed by, the far right and the moderate.
Well, our left in this country got crushed, from Reagan on. No. 1980s on, the Powell memo. Look up the Powell memo. And, that corporations were able to buy and sell politicians.
Yeah.
And unions were gutted.
Yeah.
Unions were gutted. Corporations left the United States. They deindustrialized the United States.
Yeah,
they pitted work anyway. Everybody knows my little diatribes. That's what happened to the left here. But the left, it's interesting because the left here, it's a whole kind of burgeoning Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And
Bernie and everything.
You still need to have Chris. Yes, I have to get Chris Hedges.
You should bring the bunker back for special episodes when you have, fun guests as well. There's no reason to stop.
As someone said, Hedges has zero sense of humor. That's not true. I've seen Hedges.
I saw him before.
He's just, I don't know. I love Hedges. Anyway.
Yeah.
What else? Don Jr. is this true, dude? This is hilarious. Don Jr. is doing cameos for $599.
Yeah. Pretty good. $599.
Oh, my God.
I wonder who's, I feel like The Rock is probably on cameo for like $1,000. I wonder who's more expensive than Don Jr.
The Rock.
You know,
The Rock doesn't need to do cameo.
I don't know. Who's on cameo? Who's the most famous person on cameo? I wonder. Don Jr. is on there for $5.99. If you really want to. If you want like a sniffling like cokehead. Yeah, you want a sniffling cokehead who's going to ramble on for 5 minutes. But
oh my God. By the way, you know what would be the funniest fucking thing? I just thought of this. Is Chris Hedges or Noam Chomsky doing cameos? Like Chomsky, a cameo from Noam Chomsky is, hello, Matt. I hear it's your birthday today. Israel is committing a genocide on your birthday, and the Palestinians don't have an air force, they don't have a navy, they don't have any army, and they call it a war. That's not a war, it's a war crime. Anyway, happy birthday. Sorry I got it to the Israel-Palestinian thing.
He's got that beard, that long beard. You're like, oh, is he okay? He doesn't. There was a time during like, during COVID when I was watching videos of Chomsky like live doing interviews. He didn't look. He looked so unkempt. I was just like, somebody needs to shave. Somebody needs to just groom Chomsky.
That was a great. That was a great. I kind of like that part of the pandemic that people looked so unkempt.
Right. Yeah, I did too. I did like that. It was a great equalizing moment. Speaking of Chomsky, remember when we went to MIT? We went to his office. That was so cool. Remember that?
Yes, we were in Chomsky. Yeah. My buddy Kevin Fishkin got us into Chomsky's lair, his office, and
we met his secretaries and all the people who work with him. And he was.
And it was so. What do you call it? It was so just like not pretentious. Like it was just like books. It looked like anybody's office.
Yeah, it was like a messy desk. I was like, this is.
Exactly. I mean, you would think if you were Noam Chomsky, you would have like an aquarium, like a nice aquarium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody like a model skating around. Like just on roller skates, skating around, looking bored. You know what I mean? That's my.
Yeah, that's what you think. Yeah, Chomsky. That's what you think. That's so funny.
Yeah, that's.
Cronenberg. Somebody said Cronenberg is on Cameo.
I can't believe that. That's gotta be a joke.
He's doing.
He's doing
body horror on Cameo. God, that's so funny. Did you ever see, it's not Cronenberg, I was just thinking of Jarmusch for some reason. They activate the same thing in my brain. But the Fishing with John, which is great.
Oh, yeah. That.
But the Painting with John on HBO Max is so good.
I watched about three episodes of Painting with John, and I really like it. And I want to paint when I watch that show.
You should.
Like, I love what he's doing. I have to take a course. I have no idea how to paint.
I think people would buy Eddie Pepitone originals, you know. I think you could probably it'd be like George Bush painting people. It's the opposite.
You'll be
painting soldiers. Yeah, that's what it'll be.
I'll be painting instead of soldiers who were wounded in wars, I'll be painted just like dissenters. like people who wouldn't go into war, like
self-immolation. You'll be painting people who self-immolate on the street, setting themselves on fire. That'll be what you.
You know, you're always bringing up self-immolation, and I think it has something to do with your insomnia.
Oh, it's all I see. Like, close my eyes.
Somebody said, "Prophets are said, paint on Twitch and you get paid."
That's probably
YouTube's of any painting. They probably have people painting on YouTube, don't they?
They probably do. You should do a painting show. That would be good. It doesn't really translate to podcasting, but maybe that's your TV.
I should do dystopian landscapes, says Ms. Fell. Painting pictures of Wells Fargo burning down. Big lady. Oh yeah. I will try to take it. Do you miss the? Let me ask you this, Steve. Do you miss the pandemic at all? For the there was a womb like quality to it that I miss.
I would say there was a few months there that I miss. I don't miss the entirety of it, but there were a few months where I remember we bought a PlayStation 4. And I started playing video games every day and watching old movies, and
it
felt great. It
that
felt
was
like
the sweet spot.
Yeah,
of
it was
pandemic.
Probably before like George Floyd and all that. It was before the election and George Floyd, where it was like, oh, we're like we can enjoy weird moment in between. You know, maybe I don't know. It was sometime in this early summer or late spring. Early days, but I think as the election came, at least for me, my anxiety shot through the roof, and I was just like,
when the election happened
around like October, and also in LA when the numbers were going up, and then we became really careful, and I didn't, you know, I think there were. That's when.
How about all the cowards? How about all the cowards who left LA and the big cities? They had to go into the woods, and I know a few people who did that.
And some people are on here right now. Some people are on this stream right now.
Yeah, they. If you are, you should be ashamed of yourself. No, they were like, "Oh, I'm out of here. I'm out of here."
I mean, I don't know. I was talking to Danielle yesterday about this, and we were saying, I mean, I do kind of regret not leaving for like a month. It would have been nice just for like a month and then come back. I don't know.
Why didn't you?
I don't know. In the moment, we're just like survival mode. Let's just stay here. It's the safest place to be. We know our neighborhood. But I think for sanity, getting on the road for like a little while was probably smart, you know. Leaving entirely, that's not for me. But I think maybe a couple bigger trips would have been good.
I feel, and I know this is harsh, that people who left the cities during this should not be allowed back in. You know, go live in Bumfuck or
Boise
whatever.
Or whatever the
Boise.
Fuck.
Go live in, you know what? Yeah. You like rural, you like pastoral, you like rural.
That's
so
your
much.
Life now. You're not allowed back in the big cities. That's so funny.
And then you're not allowed. Oh, no, you can't come back. You know.
Yeah, but now everybody says they can all work from home. I mean, now everything's changed where most people's companies are like, you know, we're saving money on not having office space or not having to have you come in and pay for certain things. So, you know, you can work from home. So this is kind of like there is going to be a great reshuffling of people. It's still happening.
The great reshuffling.
I think it's still happening. And you can see it all around the country where, like, smaller cities are having housing booms right now. Like, I saw a thing that I said Boise, but Boise is a city where there's, like, it's, like, crazy how expensive it's impossible. The housing market is just impossible right now. People, there's hundreds of people going for one house
in LA.
I'm talking about in smaller livable cities like Boise, for example. Austin's obvious, but other cities that are, you know, million
Austin's
or less,
not small anymore.
No, Austin's big, but LA's fucked. LA's fucked because there's so much money coming internationally into LA.
Same in Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
fucking nuts. And there's got to be a full scale. There's got to be a full scale revolution. Full scale. Against all these people who are, I was talking to someone last night about the insanity of Los Angeles. Rents and housing prices. They're being bought up by international buyers and hedge funds. And, you know, the average person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's gotta be a major reckoning. Has to come. And I don't know if that's going to take the form of very cheap cameos or, you know.
Right. Well, I was going to say, the what's on HBO Max and Netflix and Amazon, it's so good. Have you seen Hacks? Have you seen Hacks on HBO Max? People aren't going to.
I watched a few minutes of Hacks. I have to get back to it because our buddy Hannah Einbinder is a star of Hacks. Let's see. So I just think it's going to be, market corrections.
Yeah.
There's got to be some major stuff, you know. I don't know.
What do you think what would that look like, though? What do you think that would, and how do you think that would take place? Like, people
I'm not sure, but like, Anna puts global warming will get us all soon. All will be well. And I mean,
maybe
here we are, and this, you know, isn't in your little news items, which is hilarious to me. Oh, let me leave out this. I was reading yesterday about the fucking drought here in California.
Yeah.
Here in the West, not just California, but, you know, in the American West, you know, Arizona, California, Colorado, Oregon. Am I missing any states?
Washington.
The fucking drought is really bad.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. There's going to be water wars. Yeah. There's going to be, you know.
And how much water does it take to make almonds, right? Right? That's the. Well, that, no, there is that too. Like, there is that, like, how much, like, the water that we're using that we actually have. Like, what we're using it for, you know, like, what the obvious things, like, it's just like.
Well, just, I'm thinking maybe the new podcast I do is the coming water wars. And we just talk about bottled water.
Ooh. Let's just call it Waterworld 2 with Eddie Pepitone.
The drought is super bad, and it's going to. Time for some collective consumption shadow work.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Ms. Fell. Collective consumption shadow work.
Pea straws. Somebody said.
It's gonna be crazy. No, but I mean, it already. I mean, you know, the drought here in the West, which is getting worse. I mean, they're talking about. They're talking about there's going to be water shortages soon. Yeah. The wildfire season that we live through. So I think it's kind of.
So you mean maybe 8 more years with a fascist dictator after Biden, then we're close to Mad Max. We're getting closer to Mad Max territory after the droughts and the.
But I find it, though, crazy that, you know, the West. Is in this insane drought, yet the prices of housing keep skyrocketing.
Right.
Who wants to fucking live here?
And we haven't gotten the big one yet, too. We haven't gotten the, you know, the big
earthquake.
So not to.
People are suggesting titles Head Above Water with Eddie. That's a good one.
That is a good one. They'll be selling for Celebrity P.
Hunger Games, Mad Max, Waterworld, but without any of the fun. Yeah, I never watched Hunger Games. Did you?
I saw the first one, yeah.
How was it?
Tucci was great. Stanley Tucci.
Was Stanley Tucci in it?
He was
in it.
He's
my buddy. He's a good guy. I like Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, you know Stanley Tucci? Do you know
him? Well, I worked with him on ER. He was on ER one season, and I had a guest spot, and I made him laugh as my character, and he came over to me and he was like, he just goes so funny. Like, he goes so funny, and I loved him. Well, I loved him before that, but then I really loved him.
You know, he has a show on, I think it's CNN now.
It's a food show. It's a food show. Too bad he's not vegan.
Right.
I think Stanley Tucci likes the finer
things. Yeah, he does.
Yes, Miss Fell, I was on ER.
What was your ailment?
What was your ailment? Exactly. I played a guy at the beginning of the show. I was on the teaser at the beginning where I'm laying in the hospital emergency room going, oh, my God, God, I'm coming, God, I'm going to meet you finally, God. And apparently I do that every week because I'm a drunk and I always think I'm going to die. And they all know that.
Right.
Tucci gets on the intercom in the hospital and goes, "This is God, Mr. Franklin. Let's speed it up," or whatever. And, you know, it was a nice little feather in my cap.
That's a good job. That's early days of Pepitone acting in L.A. or New York? Where were you?
It was L.A.
Right. That's the end of the ER run, right? Or is that like sort of the...
I think it was very close. I've closed down a lot of shows. I was on the last season of House.
You don't want that to be known that you're the guy who closed.
No, I mean, I'm serious. I was on the last season of House.
Right.
I was on the last season of Monk and the last. Oh, no, I don't think you
is
are.
Is it true you were on the last season of MASH? Is that true?
No, I never was on MASH. I'm not that old. So, yeah, the water shortage, the drought here in the West, this climate breakdown is really
Would you intense. Say that your biggest complaint with the news of the day was not enough climate news? Did you say? Not enough.
The news of the day was not
enough. That I sent you from the show. I didn't seek out enough climate.
Is Tony Shalhoub? Tony Shalhoub is from Wisconsin. I love Tony Shalhoub so much.
You know, I don't know if you like the show or not. Are you a big Tony Shalhoub fan? He's great. I don't know if you like the show or not. It's, you know, there's good episodes and bad, but Marvelous Miss Maisel with Tony Shalhoub is so good on that show.
And he's so good in everything.
I'm telling you, his performance on that show is incredible. It's worth watching just for him. He's so good.
He's so good. But he isn't in it all the time.
He's in it a lot. Yeah, he's a pretty more than.
Oh yeah, character. He plays the dad, right?
Yeah, her dad.
How is that show? Do you
it's
like?
It's okay. I like the first season. I liked a lot, and then second season was okay. I got friends who were fans, so I can't say. But I do know. I do think the first two seasons were good. I will say that. It's hard. That's a hard show to. I mean, it's such like a. It felt like it could have been a movie, you know. And not a TV show.
Well, that is what is amazing about the television shows. Like, I've been rewatching The Sopranos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, I just want to say this about rewatching The Sopranos. I find it somewhat depressing. Yeah, it was the first show, and also it was the shows that established the genre of anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was a bad guy.
Right, right.
And but
by the way, people are saying that they want to know which episodes weren't good on Maisel, and I think it was good. It was good. I think the last season was. After the Catskills, I thought it was kind of went downhill, in my opinion.
I just didn't buy the fact that she became a stand-up comic immediately. Yeah. I saw the first, one or two episodes.
It was sort of a reimagining. And then the guy who plays Lenny Bruce is great, too. I forget the name of the actor, but he's really good. Shit. He does the best Lenny Bruce, even better than, I like Hoffman and Lenny, but this is even better.
Really? Is it Jim Belushi? Who plays Lenny Bruce?
Forget the guy's name. He's really good. Kirby? Something Kirby, maybe? Last name is Kirby.
Irish Heart said, love the rotary phone ringing in the background.
I know. We have, we're one of the few people with landline.
By the way, so... I just want to say this about The Sopranos. Like, I'm watching The Sopranos, and, I just think it's kind of depressing. Like, you know, I don't know if it's because where I'm at now in life, like, and it's, like, really violent. Like, it sprinkles, like violence.
Yeah, you had that issue with Nobody, too, the Odenkirk movie.
Well, yeah.
The violence. Well, that was gratuitous violence. That was just violent to be violent, I know.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, Nobody, you know, it comes out in the middle of a spate of mass shootings, and mm-hmm. then we're supposed to watch this movie about utter and complete violence, and it just did violence for violence sake.
Yeah, absolutely.
That movie, Nobody. I mean,
yeah. People like that, though. What are you gonna do? There's an audience for it. I just saw the new Guy Ritchie movie. I just saw the new Guy Ritchie movie called
Guy Ritchie has a new movie. What is it?
I forget. It's what it's called. Man from something or Wrath of Man. It's pretty good. It's pretty good actually. It takes place in L.A. The only thing I'll say is his dialogue when he's writing for Brits, it seems much better than when he's writing for Americans, because for some reason when Americans deliver Guy Ritchie's dialogue, it just seems very ham-handed and like very stupid. But like for some reason the accent really mm-hmm. helps. The accent really helps, let's just say that, with his dialogue. He doesn't really get it, the Americans. But it's an incredibly violent movie, so it's a warning for anybody.
I know. Well, Guy Ritchie's movies are violent. My favorite one was I don't know if it was Lock, Stock and Barrel. And what was the other one? Smoking Gun?
Snatch.
Two Smoking Guns.
Oh yeah. Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and then Rock and Rolla. And yeah.
Yeah, the accent helps. The accent helps.
The accent helps. Movie. It really does. It's weird when Americans are doing his dialogue. It's,
Snatch is that was with Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt was so
Brad Pitt was great.
Funny in that.
Brad Pitt is so good in that, and also I was going to say Colin Farrell in Bruges is another performance that is
Guy Ritchie, is it?
No, not Guy Ritchie, but I'm just saying performances.
I love In Bruges.
Performances.
Yeah.
Performances by...
In Bruges, if you guys haven't seen In Bruges, with McDonough. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, is so amazing.
Oh, so good. Brendan Gleeson's incredible. The two of them together are so good. And then isn't Dinklage too in that?
Dinklage is in that. I'm not a fan of Dinklage's height, but also Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, Ralph Fiennes, great. Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's such a good one.
Oh, Gross Point Blank is still my
favorite.
That's
a good one.
That's John Cusack, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Cusack. just saw Being John Malkovich, speaking of Cusack, who was great in that. It was great.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's a big lefty, too, Cusack.
Yeah, oh, big time.
Right? Big I used lefty. To follow him on Twitter, but yeah, Cusack never followed me back. And I got to tell you something. Don't play that game, John, because... I'm a bigger, much bigger, well, I don't know if I'm a bigger lefty. I think I am a bigger lefty than him because I'm vegan, and I don't think he's vegan. He's a Chicago guy like you. And
it's harder for us to be vegan. Not really. Not in Staten Island.
Well, this is unbelievable. I want to thank everybody who has been watching this show and donating to me on Venmo. Like I said, it's been a really great experience. And
do you want to take questions from people? Do you want to take like 10 minutes and do it's up to you. Take some final questions.
I don't think so.
Or what are people saying? Let's read what people are saying here at the end. Come on.
Yeah, well, people are, you know, everybody is like,
aww.
You know, this was so good. This was so great. And we had, who were some of the people we had?
Oh my God.
These? We had some really cool people.
There were a lot of great people. Jeff Garlin, Mark Maron, Adomian, Todd Glass.
And I think the biggest thing that we, you know, we didn't have
it was money.
We didn't have money. We didn't have Judd Apatow on. And I remember you were pushing for Apatow to come on, and I was like, no.
I didn't reach out to him, but
I did. Him. No, I said, I don't want Apatow. And you were pushing Apatow on me. And I was like, no, we're not going to inflict my regular viewers with Judd Apatow.
Well, Judd will be on as a special guest maybe for a future Bunker episode. We'll see. As the Bunker will come.
And I'll still be doing Instagram. By the way, everybody, I'll still be appearing on Instagram live here and there.
Yeah.
Maybe a Bunker special.
Bunker specials. Yeah, any guests you kind of figure. I'm sure, like, the funny thing is it started to happen, which is so bizarre over the course of this, was publicists started to reach out to me about – getting guests on the show. Ooh. I won't name names, but there were publicists who reached out, and they were starting to think that this was like a big show with like lots of a big audience. But it was really funny, and I'm still getting people reaching out, so we might get occasional big guests, and maybe you can do special
episodes. Yeah, we'll do it some more. Yeah, Bunker on the Road, that'll be good. I could do a pop-up Instagram. Anyway, I hate endings, yeah. and this is not an ending.
Just like Seinfeld was, a rough finale, you know, this is, you know.
Well, how about, we were just talking about The Sopranos. How about The Sopranos? Imagine if I just went out of the frame and that's how we ended The Bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's it. Like,
just start playing Journey right now.
We just end The Bunker, like we end The Bunker.